Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Kabaza, and for today, we do get into quite an interesting conversation about what's going on in the world of mobility, and that is specifically around what's going on with the different business models out there. This is something that we've been talking about quite a bit, on the platform. And that, basically has to do with the fact that we've been seeing some shifts in consumer behavior over the last couple of years. We've spoken to the likes of Barloworld. We've spoken to the likes of Absa Vehicle Financing, just giving us insight into what's going on in the vehicle space, the movement from, the idea of having a new car, the rising in demand of, secondhand vehicles, through the pandemic, which even saw the laws of supply and demand causing some, astronomical prices to actually, take place over in that secondhand market. But, now there's also been, the rise of, subscription car services. A few weeks ago, we spoke to Flex Club Tinashe, over on that side. But for today, we are also going to be talking to the team, over at Planet 42. They've got a different take, on the subscription car service model. So for today, we are going to be talking to, I hope I pronounced the name correctly. It's Eric Oya, who is the CEO and co-founder, of Planet 42. And then we are also going to be talking to, Grant Wing, who is the COO or the chief, operating officer over at, Planet 42, just to get some insight, into what's going on, some of the trends that they are seeing, over in the mobility space, but also at the same time, just some of the things that they're seeing when it comes to, how things like wealth distribution also feed into that whole discussion around car ownership and access to vehicles. So it's going to be quite a fascinating discussion. I'm going to start with, he said I can call him Eric, for the purposes of this discussion. So I'm going to start off with Eric, just to get, it would be interesting to get your take around, how you guys view the subscription business model. Very keen to get both your takes. Eric, we'll start with you.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. Yeah. So car subscription itself is, it's a new, more flexible, form of having a car. It started in Europe, in the US, where it is mainly an alternative to this more traditional vehicle finance or finance lease. And the main difference is the extra flexibility. So you're not usually locked in for 5 or 6 or 7 years. You can usually return the car. And then in some cases, there's also options to buy out the car. In South Africa, a somewhat similar concept is rent to buy, or just long term vehicle rental with an option to buy, although they have tended to be actually also not very 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 flexible. The difference in our model, what Planet 42 is doing, is mainly two things. Well, first of all, we are focusing on secondhand cars. Our average car is more than 10 years old, and we're focusing on customers who are otherwise not able to access a car. So we are putting cars in the hands of people who are, in our view, unfairly ignored by banks and other, these traditional service providers. So according to the credit scores that we've seen from our customers, almost 90% of them would not have a car if we would not provide a car to them. So that's the kind of the big difference, is that we're taking a completely new market. We're not in competition with banks. We're not actually, you mentioned Flex Club. We're not in direct competition with them either, as Flex Club's model is basically offering people who can get a bank to buy a car for them, but trying to convince them to, hey, take this more flexible option. You can change cars. You can return them. It's for many people, it actually is a better option. And I've referred friends to Flex Club myself if I believe that, you know, that's the kind of right thing for them. For us, the focus are customers who otherwise would not have a car. So that's our market. That's the blue ocean that we're tackling.
Grant, your take on the car subscription model, and especially because I know that as Planet 42, one of the things that you guys talk about is the use of artificial intelligence. So I guess your take on subscription models and how you guys are implementing artificial intelligence when it comes to actually putting down the business model.
Sure, Madiwe. That's quite a compound question that you've just asked. so let me focus at the 1,000 mile overview of our business, framing the short term part, and then the unfairly ignored by banks part, and then we'll move on to the artificial intelligence part. So South Africa is still playing catch up with the rest of the world in terms of shorter dated car liability or car obligations. By that I mean in London, in America, in all first world countries, the ability to take out a car on a shorter term obligation is very, very, very advanced. Like, you can walk into any dealership, take out a car on a 1 or 2 year agreement, return the car afterwards. South Africa as a country or as a sector is still playing catch up with a lot of that in first world countries. However, that is being recognized now that it is a gap that needs to be fulfilled. By way of example, BMW are offering shorter term leases on their products, 12, 24, 36. And then I recall reading an article last week by the CEO of Westbank, Ghana Msibi, who also said that car subscription will be the future, i.e. he's also alluding to shorter dated car commitments. So we definitely see shorter dated car commitments as the future. To that end, in our contracts, we've made it so easy that a customer can take out a car for as little as 6 months, and if they don't like it, pay a return fee. So if you look at the typical finance lease, that's 5 years. And if I ask you, Mudi, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? Well, that's also my favorite interview question. Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? Well, I don't actually know. So why would you take out a 5-year commitment on a car? Right? So this is why we're saying just take out a shorter term contract with Planet 42, because life is uncertain. That's fine. But I'm sure you as a customer can plan your affairs 6 months at a time. So that's the aspect of shorter term / car subscription. The next aspect, customers unfairly ignored by banks. It's not the customer that's bad. It's the system that's caused all the customers to be what we call blacklisted. But it can't be right that in a whole country, 2/3 of the population are blacklisted. That rather talks to a systemic breakdown of the system. So as Eric said earlier, 90% of our customers would not have a car if not for us. And now moving on to the third point about artificial intelligence. Well, at Planet 42, we invest in a data first approach. By way of example, the gentleman running our artificial intelligence, he was a nuclear physicist by profession, but then he said, well, this job is boring because I can't blow up enough bombs and refine my bomb making tools. So let me rather turn my mathematical ability into credit scoring. So what that happens is every time a customer applies, it's run through our artificial intelligence algorithm. And then the algorithm says whether that is a good bet or a bad bet. And then at the end of the year, we can look back and say, which were the bad bets, which were the good bets. We retrain our algorithm to only choose good bets. And by that way, we're iteratively and constantly improving our decision-making process through artificial intelligence.
I want to add there, like, so absolutely, Grant there, just sometimes the word artificial intelligence is just thrown around like too easily. So I just want to make it clear that, you know, true artificial intelligence, that, you know, general artificial general artificial intelligence does not exist yet. So when we talk about, you know, artificial intelligence, you know, really most people are just talking about, you know, is simple like decision trees. So far, you know, our, the amount of data, such as the algorithms that we've created, we're now on the 8th version of our algorithm. Those are so far created based on, classical regression analysis. It's a, you know, pretty, you know, standard, statistical tool. Now we have enough data that we can start using the first kind of machine learning tools. It's been taking us, you know, a couple of years to get the data amount large enough so that machine learning would start making sense. In the future, we can move on to like, you know, neural nets and so on, but that's not really like, you know, from the, it's not really the definition of artificial intelligence as well. So just want to be careful not to kind of like throw around stuff like, you know, artificial intelligence. And then there's like, you know, whatever crypto and Web3 and just like all these buzzwords, you know, we're doing like the execution of the thing with we're doing here, putting cars in the hands of people who are unfairly ignored by banks. It's, the execution is difficult. So like there's a lot of puzzle pieces that we have to put together correctly, but underlying like the tools that we use aren't actually that complicated. So we're not saying that, you know, we're somehow creating an artificial intelligence tool from scratch here. Like that's not even Google has done that yet.
Eric, perhaps as a follow up to, you know, what you're saying, we can drill down a little bit, around, you know, what we're referring to, as the artificial intelligence, but more correctly, as you put it, the algorithms that you guys are developing or have developed, right? So from that point of view, then, when it comes to, I think Grant mentioned, you know, the word blacklisted, because it means that, you know, the traditional systems, have taken this person and have deemed them as being uncreditworthy, or someone who's going to be a credit risk. So the algorithms that you guys are developing, right? Like what type of data are they taking in, that will help to, I guess, circumvent, you know, some of this, you know, some of the traditional ways? What are the data points, because I can imagine that you guys are probably using a somewhat different data sets to some of the more traditional risk assessment models.
Yeah, you're correct in that we are using additional data sources as well. But really the bulk of the information or the data points that we get is through a credit bureau. So that's data that any service provider has access to. And that's used, I mentioned that we're using, you know, classical regression analysis to create algorithms. So basically what we're doing is every time a customer applies, there's an automated query goes out to query bureaus and a couple of other data sources. So we literally get like thousands of data points about every customer every time they apply. For us, the important bit is to record this information to save it, to store it. And then, you know, a certain percentage of the customers end up being, you know, signing contracts, getting cars. And then we can look at, you know, in 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, we can see how they've performed. And now looking at thousands of these data points that we captured, that's all input data, and looking at how those data points or whether or if they influence at all how the customer actually paid, like what is the payment discipline. That's the output data. So in regression analysis it gets a bit technical, but the payment discipline data in our portfolio, that's the dependable, and all the data inputs, those are independent variables. So we're looking at how the independent variables, if at all, influence the dependent variable. So the thousands of data points that we capture every time a customer applies, those are in the regression analysis independent variables, and we're looking at how these independent variables affect the dependent variable, which is the payment discipline of our customers. So the difference is the data that nobody else has is this output data, this dependent variable or payment discipline of the nearly 10,000 people in South Africa that we have bought cars for. So we can train our algorithms on a target on this dependent variable that nobody else has. So that's the That's the difference. So which means that even taking the same standard data that a bank has access to, we can make better decisions because we have that dependent variable that, this, you know, output data that nobody else has.
Okay, cool. Grant, with everything that, that Eric has said about the type of, you know, data points that you guys are using, and it's, a lot of it is, you know, coming from, the credit bureaus, et cetera. Maybe you could talk to us about risk, because it's a point that you have raised that, you know, some of the people, a piece of the market that you guys are, trying to capture is people, that are blacklisted. So how do you guys, I guess, think around the risk when it comes to credit, and also at the same time, you know, how do you just mitigate, you know, said risk? You know, how are you guys thinking around those issues?
Great question, Madiwa. So we have an alternate view on risk because of the data that that we are gathering. Fundamentally, it's not the customers that are bad. It's the system that is, well, questionable, given the fact that 66% of the population is what we call blacklisted. So if, for example, you've missed one cell phone installment, or through hard lockdown, you have missed one home loan installment, this does not make you a bad customer. So we take all those data points from the credit bureau. And what we fundamentally do compared to a traditional bank is weight these data points differently so that we have an alternate view of risk. And as we know, the only way to make good decisions is to make bad decisions. We've made a ton of bad decisions first, but every bad decision was an opportunity to learn more about this segment of the market so that we can make better decisions in the future. By way of example, I mean, when we first started, terrible decisions, absolute deep end of the market. Quite a few contracts ended prematurely, but over time, the contract length got longer and longer because of better decision-making abilities, because we were able to, as Eric said, capture all the data at point of the decision and then retrain our algorithm to avoid those characteristics so that we could choose better and better customers going forward. But further to add to that, we've also taken an automation view first. So what I mean by that is, traditionally, a human will check bank statements and then make a view of if they think it's a good or a bad risk. Now, the human, depending if it's, well, Monday morning or Friday afternoon, might have a different view of risk because, well, Monday morning, they've watched carte blanche. They're in a bad mood on Monday morning versus Friday. You're more bullish. You're walking into the weekend. So what we've done is we've given all the decision making to our algorithm first, and then we only pass the high probability events to our back office staff. And we are so efficient at this that, again, just a little stat that you might like. In January, we took 55,000 applications, and we only have a back office staff of 10 people processing all of those applications. So we're data first in managing our risk, passing that on to the people just for verification. So to answer your question, we just take an alternate view of risk and a constant iterative learning ability. To Eric's point, we've learned 8 times over the past 3 years. That's the number of times we've changed our scoring algorithm.
You know, it's a very interesting way to think about risk, and especially when one takes in the, what you call this, the usual data sets, and then, you know, finds an alternative way to think about it. So in this last bit of the conversation, I want us to switch over to the practicalities, because now we've sort of heard, you know, the thesis around the business model. We understand, you know, some of the factors that you guys are taking into account, the shifts in, you know, consumer behavior, the shifts in the economy. even and all of that. So I just want to, you know, take it into the practical realm. And Grant, I'll start with you, you know, on the customer side, and then Eric, you can give us, you know, the insight on the supply side. So on the demand side, right? If someone says, okay, fine, I want to subscribe for a car, can you walk us through what that is, you know, what that process is looking like on the demand side, and then Eric can give us what it looks like on the supply side.
Actually, I'd rather push the question to Eric for the demand side, because it was based on the demand that Eric decided to quit his excellent job in Estonia and come here for the demand. And then I can talk to the supply side.
Okay, cool. Eric, you've been tasked.
Well, thank you, co-host Grant. Sure. Like, so I think I can like refer back to what Grant said, about, you know, 2/3 of the population, adult population, being blacklisted. So our view is that if 2/3 of the population is blacklisted, then it's not that, you know, 2/3 of the population somehow are degenerates. It's that something is wrong with the definition of blacklisted. So that's really, why, my co-founder and I came to South Africa, because we saw just so many people having, you know, stable incomes, but not getting served by, traditional companies like the banks. So that's what we mean when I say that, you know, our customers are unfairly ignored by banks. The demand side is absolutely, you know, insane. But there's no supply. So this is why we are the supply ourselves. We are buying these cars from the dealers, for the specific customers, ourselves. So these cars are on our balance sheets. We buy them for debt. So we're actually raising about 10 times more debt than we are raising equity funding. But to answer that question, for a customer to apply, it's very simple. You go to planet42.com. You fill in 5 fields, click submit, and then in 60 seconds, our algorithm will give you the first response. It will either be, yes, you're approved. Here are the parameters. You know, you can get a car up to 150 or 200,000 Rand. This will be the monthly, installment approximately. You know, go and look for a car, from any dealer you want to, but here's a list of, you know, about 700 car dealers that we're partnered with currently. And then then the customer will go and pick out the car that they want, agree with the dealership on the pricing, sign the contract, and then we will buy that car from the dealership and then rent it out to our customer. And the whole process here, Grant stressed here this automation side. The whole process onboarding of a customer is fully remote for Planet 42. So we don't physically see the customer and we don't physically see the car.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting from that point of view, and especially because you guys don't have line of sight of those, you know, two things, speaking to the amount of automation that's actually happening behind the scene. So Grant, when it comes to, I guess, this interaction between the supply side and the demand side, one of the things about, you know, the subscription car model that people talk about is the flexibility part, because you guys have sort of in some ways gone on and taken on the buying risk from the suppliers on behalf of let's say the consumer, right? What flexibility do they have in terms of, you know, how long they have to keep, you know, the car for? You know, is the situation where, I can be driving a Toyota Yaris for 6 months and then I can drive a C-Class for another 6 months, then I can drive a Range Rover, or do I have to keep my Yaris for, you know, a predetermined amount of time?
Cool. So, just coming to the supply side, and I'll get into the contract length. There's structural, well, supply is a function of two items: the dealers within our network and the cars that the dealers can get. Currently, we have 700 signed up dealers within our network. We estimate that there's approximately 3,000 dealers in South Africa that we could sign up. So you can still see the runway ahead of where it is that we are going with the product. That's just a function of, you know, good marketing, good advertising, our sales guys convincing dealers to use our product as an alternative to bank financing. So the more dealers we sign up, the bigger our supply base gets. Additionally to that, the supply is also, well, just that, the supply of physical cars. And right now with the latest buzzword being chip shortage, that's also impacting the supply of good quality vehicles that our dealers could put our customers into. But we don't see the vehicle supply as being a major stumbling block right now. We just want to sign up every dealer in South Africa, and that will then give us access to more supply of good quality cars. Now, your question about how long is the contract? Well, it's a rental contract, so it is technically termless. However, there is an option to buy out the contract for a nominal amount at the end of a five-year period. However, we do not expect all of our customers to go 5 years. And as mentioned at the start of the interview, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? Nobody really knows. But we're saying, cool, surely you as the customer can take a view of where you see yourself in 6 months' time. So take out the car with a six-month view. If your circumstances change, after those 6 months, pay a return fee and we'll take the car back. Or you know what, in month seven or month eight, you decide that you need another car to Planner 42. No problem. Come back to us and we can start the application process again. And that's as simple as going to our website, planner42.com, and applying. And it'll take only 59 seconds of your time the second time around also, which is probably the fastest application process in the market right now.
Okay, cool. So, you know, that's the, you know, at least we've understood how it works, you know, on the demand and the supply side, and especially, you know, that interaction between the dealerships, you know, and the consumers, and I guess the flexibility that comes, as opposed to the traditional way of coming in and financing a vehicle. So definitely understand that, part. So in this last section, I just want to focus on the future, grants, starting with you, because you were the one who has been talking about where you guys want to be in the next 5 years. And for you, I'm going to, you know, talk about that 5 year timeline and just get a sense of whether you see this being a South African play, whether you think this is a model that could work in other emerging markets. Does it have, you know, global appeal in both developed and developing markets? How are you guys thinking about that when you look into the future?
Cool. Well, in terms of dealerships on our base, there's 700 signed up dealers. We want to sign up all 3,000 in South Africa. That then gives us access to be able to take on more cars onto our balance sheet. To answer your question directly, where do we see ourselves going in the next 5 years? Well, I'd actually say 3 years, because I can't plan 5 years ahead. We want to own 1% of the used car market in South Africa as a minimum base. Now, what is 1%? That would mean that we have a fleet of 100,000 cars on our books that we have helped 100,000 South Africans who otherwise would have had to have walked to a taxi rank, possibly, you know, walked through the rain, carried their laptops through unsafe streets, or paid exorbitant Uber fees or ride hailing fees. We want to help 100,000 South Africans within the next 3 to 4 years in South Africa as a base case, preferably 200,000 in South Africa. Now, as far as the product goes, South Africa isn't the only country that has a conservative view to scoring risk. So I'd like Eric to chat about where Planner 42 is going with respect to other countries.
All right, cool. No, thanks so much, Grant. Eric, your take on, that future question, you get the last word, on this conversation. And in that, that issue about expanding, any plans for outside of South Africa, maybe you could also talk to us about, your funding journey so far, because I first heard of Planet 42 because NASPERS, led a $5.8 million funding round, sometime last year. So, just take us through those two pieces, as we end off.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So as Grant explained, in South Africa, we have this medium-term goal to get at least 100,000 cars. South Africa is what we consider our home market. This is the first market where we launched in. I live in South Africa myself since, 2017. But now South Africa is, thanks to the leadership of Grant, is in a position where it doesn't really need me anymore. We have more than 50 people now, South Africans, who are working on the South African business. So South Africans are running the South African business of, Planet 42. Our next market is Mexico. So we have bought about 30 cars there, and they're out on the streets driving around right now, as the first kind of like soft launch to learn about that market. Initial results are good, and we want to significantly now expand in Mexico as well. And we've also said that the next market that we tackle after Mexico will be Brazil. So Planet 42 is already in Latin America, and we're going to keep expanding there. On the African continent, South Africa is just the biggest and most developed market. About a quarter of all passenger cars on the African continent are in South Africa. So whatever else market we would take, Nigeria or Kenya or Egypt, would be much, much, much smaller than South Africa. We don't want to go smaller. We want to go bigger. So, the Mexican used car market is about six times the size of South Africa. And then Brazil is twice larger than Mexico is. So we're going to go after these very, very big markets.
And then the funding journey?
Yeah. So far we have raised in rands about almost a billion rand. Most of that, so nearly 90% is debt funding. And then nearly all of that cash, all of that money that we've raised and invested in South Africa, has been raised outside from South Africa, with the exception now of, as you mentioned, NASPERS led our previous equity round. So now we have the first South African investor on board as well. Like literally, we have the head of NASPERS Foundry, Fabian Waite, is sitting on our supervisory board. We keep fundraising almost constantly. Again, most of the money that we raise is debt, but we're also raising equity. So this is kind of like a ongoing process. So, you can expect news every once in a while about, us raising another, bunch of money basically.
So that's been it. We're talking to the team over at Planet 42, giving us some insight into how they've, approached and are attacking the subscription car market. They're saying that, their particular take, is about going in and actually getting, inventory of cars onto their own balance sheet. One of their goals is to get to 100,000 cars, on their balance sheet. In the next 3 to 4 years as a minimum base case. Grant saying that, ideally, that number should be looking more, towards the 200,000 number. And, they're expanding, to the likes of Mexico. And they also want to get into Brazil because those are really huge markets. Six times bigger than South Africa in the case of Mexico and likely 10 to 12 times bigger, than, South Africa in the case of, Brazil. and also just talking about the fact that, you know, if they can conquer, you know, the South African market, it gives them a good foothold in, you know, what's going on, over, on the African continent. And then you can take the business case, you know, from there. And they've actually been raising quite a bit of money. You said they've raised close to $1 billion, with the majority of that being debt funding, because of the ambitions to get, you know, more and more cars, onto their balance sheet. But they also have been raising a bit of equity, with the Naspers having, you know, come in as the first South African investor. Grant, Eric, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Madiwe.
Thanks, Madiwe.
This is Madiwe's Take.
Quite an interesting take when it comes to the subscription car model, and it's been great that we were able to talk to someone like Tinashe over at Flex Club, and now talking to Grant and Eric over on the Planet 42 side to see the different takes that are out there, and the fact that, you know, they're seeing each other not as you know, competitors, but sort of more as compatriots in the same market. I think, you know, that's that's quite an interesting one. And also at the same time, one of the things that I did find interesting is that when you look at Flex Club, for example, they at the moment are operating mainly in South Africa and Mexico. And when you hear about the Planet 42 roadmap, they're in South Africa, and their next market that they're already testing in is Mexico. I found that interesting. But the fact that, you know, it sounds like Planet 42 really wants to, you know, take on the Latin American market, that South American market, I think that's going to be something very interesting to watch, particularly when they go beyond Mexico and into, you know, a country like Brazil. I can also imagine that part of the rationale for getting into South America is some of the expertise that's coming from the Naspers side, because Naspers and Process have, you know, very big investments in Latin America. So there's probably you know, a lot of you know, knowledge trading and knowledge dispersion that's happening at the moment, to give an idea of what's going on the ground in those different economies. So yeah, it's going to be quite an interesting to watch, and especially because they do have the backing of an investor like Naspers. You know, not too sure about the rest of the investor base. I'm sure they're also, you know, helping when it comes to this roadmap. 3 to 4 years, 100,000 vehicles. You know, we wait to see how they end up you know, making things happen. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.